Greetings from Tony Broom Ministries, presenting the old-time preaching from God's Holy Word. Here's a sermon from Revelation chapter 3, entitled Lukewarm Lane. I cannot explain why a child of God, when the world is falling apart around you, you just keep on rejoicing. You're not happy because things are going wrong, but you have joy in spite of the fact that things around you are going wrong, because your hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen. What a good God He is. Amen. What a wonderful Savior we serve. Amen. I'm glad to be a part of the family of God. Amen. I told the Lord today, I'm just glad to be a specimen. You just would consider making me a specimen to even think about, to look at. And I know the scripture talks to us about we're sons and daughters of the Most High God and our position in Christ, and we're seated in heavenly places, and that's wonderful. But you still have to come down to earth and think, look, I'm just nobody without God. I would be nobody. Just, like I said, a specimen, just something that He would even think. And the psalmist said the same thing. When I look at the moon and the stars that You've made, what is man that You would be mindful of him, or the son of man that You would even consider him? By the end of the psalm, he was saying, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. You've made Him a little lower than the angels. You've crowned Him with glory and honor. You've put Him over the works of Your hands. And Lord, it would seem like that man is nothing. But in Jesus Christ, You've given man that dominion that we lost in Adam, we gained in Christ. Amen. Well, let's look at Revelation chapter 3, starting at verse 14. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write. Laodicea means justice of the people. Watch out when you start looking for the justice of the people instead of the righteousness of God. Amen. Laodicea lived up or lived down to their name, whichever way you want to look at it. They had a name that would match the justice of the people, but they were not matching the purpose that God had for them. God had a message through the Lord Jesus and His angel. He said, write to this church, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Christ always qualifies Himself when speaking to the churches. Every time that He would speak to one of the churches in the book of the Revelation, He would always qualify Himself. He would say something about Himself that would match that vision that John had on the Isle of Patmos. He would say something like, this is from the one who is the first and the last. This is from the one who has the seven golden stars in His right hand. This is from the one who, as he says here, is a faithful and true witness, the Amen. Christ qualifies Himself when speaking to the church. Anybody can come and say, I'm a preacher or I'm a bishop. And Jesus said that there would be those in the last day who would even say, I'm Christ. He said, don't believe it. Don't go after them. Don't pay them any attention. They can say, I'm here in the wilderness. I'm here in the desert. He says, go not forth. You don't have to worry about them. The one who is the head of the church, the one who is speaking to the church, qualifies himself. And there's nobody else like him. There's nobody else who has feet like brass and eyes like fire. John hears a voice saying, come up higher. There's no other one like him. He said, I know your works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Weiss translation says, I am about to vomit you out of my mouth. That would be a disgusting thing that would make God so sick that He would want to vomit them out of His mouth. He says it's because of lukewarmness. We've all heard about Laodicea being the lukewarm church, and about the fact that that characteristic of lukewarmness is seen in all the churches down through the ages, and especially the church age part that we're living in now. We see that lukewarmness. We also see the faithful church. We also see the persecuted church. We can see all these characteristics in our churches today, and the lukewarmness is definitely a part of our church world today. We're not speaking about lukewarmness per se. You've all heard that. You've heard preachers preach about the lukewarm church. We're talking about lukewarm lane. Lukewarm lane has things leading to it, leading to lukewarm lane. Lukewarm lane is a terrible place to be. There are several danger stops of warning along the way leading to it. When you're on a road that you should not be on. Now, men don't like to admit that we're on a road that we shouldn't be on. We'll tell our wife, "I know where I'm going." She said, "Yeah, and that ain't the first lie you told since you're a Christian either." "I know where I'm going. Yeah, sooner or later I'm going to come out somewhere." That's what we mean by that. When you get on the wrong road, it's hard to admit that you're on the wrong road, and it's even harder sometimes to turn around. Nobody wants to be on lukewarm lane. But there are some danger stops along the way to try to get you to turn around, to try to get you not to go on lukewarm lane. And the first one, we begin at the spiritual high peak of the Church of Ephesus. The Church of Ephesus is a high spiritual plane church. It was so high, in fact, that the Apostle John one time was one of the pastors of the Ephesian church. Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, and we have that book in our Bible. Praise the Lord for that. There are a lot of good, rich things in the book of Ephesians. There are great things that happened at Ephesus. There are great doors, effectual doors that were opened at Ephesus. Mighty things took place there. They were a spiritual high church, but they had left their first love. Revelation 2:4 says that. They had left their first love. Now, I've heard preachers say they lost their first love. They didn't lose it. They left it. When you lose something, it's an accidental. You don't know where you have lost it. But when you leave something, it's purposeful. They had left their first love. They didn't lose it. They left it. That is a warning sign getting closer to lukewarm lane when you leave your first love. They were challenged and warned to remember from where they had fallen, repent, and redo the first works. That's the three R's. They were challenged to remember. Remember where you were. Remember where you came from. Remember from where you have fallen. And then repent. And then redo the first works. How do I get back to where I was? You redo the first works. They say if your marriage is losing luster, that you redo the first works. You start doing those favors that you used to do. You start putting on that special cologne that she used to like. Maybe she's gotten so old now she can't smell it no more. I don't know. But anyway, you try to redo the first works. And he tells the Church of Ephesus, do the first works over. If you do what you did, we wonder why we can't experience and feel the power of God and why signs and wonders don't happen like they used to. It's because we're not doing the works that we did then. If we would do like we did then God would do it all over again. Redo the first works. The second stop on the way to lukewarm lane is at the Church of Pergamos, where they were leaning toward liberalism. Chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. This Balak hired Balaam to curse Israel. Come and curse me this people. I want you to curse them. I perceive and realize that he whom you blessed is blessed, and he who you curse is cursed. So I want you to curse me this people. God wouldn't let him do it. He didn't even want him to go. He finally permitted him to go reluctantly, but he didn't allow Balaam to curse the children of Israel. Instead of cursing them, he ended up blessing them because he told Balak, I cannot do anything but speak the word of the Lord. Instead of cursing Israel, he blessed Israel because God had told Abraham, I will bless him who blesses you and I will curse him who curses you. And he didn't allow Israel to be cursed. He allowed them already to have been blessed. And so Balaam could not curse them. But he said, in effect, in essence, I will tell you what I'll do. Even though I cannot curse them, I will teach you how to put a stumbling block before them. I will teach you to bring in sexual sins, to join them to Baal Peor, to get them to eat things sacrificed to idols, to get them to commit sexual sins and immorality. And that's what brought the nation down. They were, in effect, conforming to contemporary culture. I cannot curse them. God won't let me do that. But I'll tell you what I will do. I will get them to conform to contemporary culture. And that's what happens on Lukewarm Lane. When the church starts conforming to contemporary culture, God never called us to change the culture. He called us to change the lives of people, that is to introduce them to Christ, and he would change the lives of men and women, boys and girls, one person at a time. And if that happens enough, the culture will be changed. But God didn't send us into the world to change the culture. He sent us into the world with the Great Commission to change lives and set the captives free. When the church becomes lukewarm, it conforms to the contemporary culture. That's a danger sign on the way to Lukewarm Lane. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, that's man-made religion, and he said, which thing I hate. Jesus, yes, do you mean to tell me that he hates something? Yes, he does. He hates man-made religion. Jesus hates man-made religion. He hates that which has a form of godliness but denies the power thereof. You can look pretty. You can have stained glass windows. You can have fashion and form. But if you deny the power of the Holy Ghost, Jesus said, I hate it. I hate the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. I hate that which is man-made religion. And so when we have this danger sign is flashing on the way to Lukewarm Lane, it says, watch out, don't go here. Don't go to contemporary culture. Don't go to man-made religion. And that's exactly what the church world in large portion has done. They have gone to contemporary culture. They have gone to man-made religion. And Jesus said, I hate it. You're about to make me sick and to spew you out of my mouth. Their warning is to repent in verse 16. The third stop is at the church of Thyatira, where the leadership had become corrupt. It is referred to as the New Testament version of the Old Testament Jezebel, who according to verse 20 was allowed to teach false doctrine and seduce the people to commit sexual sins and to eat things sacrificed to idols, while calling herself a prophetess. The girl in charge was self-appointed and promoted in exchange for monetary payoffs and sexual favors. Thus, the oldest known female occupation of prostitution is still in operation under the guise of modern convenience and cover-up. That's what legalization of abortion is all about, ladies and gentlemen and brothers and sisters. It's about convenience and cover-up. And a lot of times the reason that they want to have one to begin with is because of prostitution, because of sexual promiscuity and immorality. And so when a person realizes that they're with child, they want to do away with it because it's an inconvenience, and to have a cover-up. It's the same thing that was going on back in Revelation chapter 3. It's been going on all these years. Because continual warnings to repent had gone unheeded, the only other recourse was tribulation and death, verse 22 and 23. The fourth stop leading to Lukewarm Lane is at the Church of Sardis, chapter 3, verse 1, which is popular but spiritually dead. Do you know that church can be popular in the community, but can be spiritually dead as a doornail? The church can have a big name. The church can be known with the big boys up in the club in town. The church can be represented on committees in City Hall. But it can be dead as 4 o'clock in last year's bird nest, or dead as North Line at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That's how dead it can be. Jesus said, you have a name that you live, but you're dead. It was spiritually dead. The warning is to be watchful, to strengthen the things that remain, which are almost about to die, and repent. These are the warnings leading to Lukewarm Lane. And then, what about this? Looping on Lukewarm Lane. Try to say that 3 times. Looping on Lukewarm Lane. Once you get on Lukewarm Lane, it keeps looping round and round. You ever been on one of those loops that just goes round and round? You can't get off of it. It's almost impossible to get off of it. The awful description is given in Revelation 3:17. Because, and this is the description of lukewarmness. This is a description of looping on Lukewarm Lane. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increase with goods, and have need of nothing. That's what they thought. I'm rich, I have everything I need, I'm increased with goods, we have multi-ministries, we don't have need of anything. Colleges thought they were like that too. But they got in financial trouble, and they ended up having to go back to their knees, and go back to their roots, and look to God. If you have a name like Emmanuel, Emmanuel means God with us, and if He's with you, you better get back to Him. And they had a name of Emmanuel, and they had a name of a Christian college, but you've got to look to God. Realize that you're not too high on your high horses. You need to look to God. You have to depend on God. Any church, any ministry, any pastor, any preacher, any bishop, any evangelist that is right with God and worth the salt in his breath, he has to depend on God. She has to depend on God. We have to look to God. Believers, as Christians, in the time that we're living in, we cannot make it on our own. We cannot make it on our own smarts and our ingenuity. We can't just pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and just get better. It's not going to get better. Amen. You've got to be what God wants you to be, and it's not going to be an administration, somebody that you put in the White House or the Black House or the Blue House. Doesn't matter what kind of house. That's not going to make it any better. You got to get right with God. You got to get back to the principles that made your nation great. Yes. Amen. I'm doing some preaching now. Amen. You say, I'm rich. I am increased with goods. I don't have need of anything. You do not know. You know it's not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That is the description that he gives you when you get on Lukewarm Lane. You just keep going round and round. Somehow it'll come out all right. Somehow I'll just get better. Somehow things will just get better. When you lay down and die, your good works outweigh your bad, and it'll just work out some way in the end. It'll pan out in the end. Yeah, it'll pan out in the lake of fire. That's where it's going to pan out at, until people get right with God. When you get right with God, you don't have to worry about your good works outweighing your bad. When you get right with God, He takes all those bad and puts it in the sea of forgetfulness, and you just truck with Jesus on the good road. Amen. You get off of that lukewarm lane loop, and you get on the good road, leaving lukewarm lane. When you ride around and around on a loop, you get a little bit car sick after a while. That takes some of that Dramamine, you know, stuff. You get seasick, you get car sick after a while, looping round and round. Almost everybody talks about lukewarmness of the Laodicean church, but hardly anybody talks about the off-ramp and exit. Thank God there's an off-ramp. Thank God there's an exit. You don't have to stay on lukewarm lane. You don't have to lay on lukewarm lane. You don't have to be lax on lukewarm lane. You can leave lukewarm lane. And that's what God is calling all the churches to do today, those who are lukewarm. If you're lukewarm, you're too cool to be cold, but you're too warm to be hot. That's what lukewarmness is. It's a little bit too warm to be cold, but it's a little bit too cool to be hot. And you can look at it several ways, but lukewarm. Not cold, but it's not hot either. It's in the middle where you can't do anything with it. And that's why Jesus said, I can't do anything with lukewarmness. It makes me sick. And this lukewarmness, he's calling on the churches today to leave lukewarm lane. Usually once you get on a loop lane or road, there's only one exit to get off. And once you get on the off ramp, you must continue taking the exit until you are completely clear off and past the loop. Once you get on the exit, you can't second guess yourself. Did I take the right exit? Maybe I ought to go back. No, you don't want to go back to lukewarm lane. You don't want to. Once that's the only exit you have. That's the only off-ramp there is. And once you get on it, you got to stay on it until you get clear, and we would say it like this, where we come from, clean off lukewarm lane. The journey of lukewarmness is treacherous. But chapter 3, verse 18 to 22 gives clear signs so you can stay on the exit and make it safely home. When you get on an exit and you drive for a little ways, trying to get to the right place, if you don't see a sign that will point you that you're going the right way, you'll start second guessing yourself, won't you?
Yeah.
Did I take the right way? How long is this thing going to go around before it gets me to the right road? Well, there are clear signs that will keep you going in the right direction until you make it safely home. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Don't say you're rich and you're really poor. It's all right to be poor physically and you still love God. That's not what he's talking about. Don't claim to be rich so people will like you and think a lot about you when you really don't have a hut to lay in. Don't try to be big shot when you're just a little shot. Don't say I'm rich and increased in goods. He said, I'll tell you what you do. You buy of me gold that's tried in the fire so you can really be rich. The gold that he's talking about is salvation. Salvation. Buy of me the gold of salvation where you'll really be rich. And white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. There's nothing wrong with Adam and Eve being naked in the beginning, and there's nothing wrong with a man and his wife being naked in the right way, but nakedness in general is an abomination and disgrace in the sight of God. I don't care if it's on the beach house, I don't care if it's in the church house, I don't care what kind of house it's in. Nakedness, when they realized after they had sinned that they were naked, what do? They covered themselves up. They had more sense than some church people's got. At least they had sense enough to cover themselves up. I counsel you to buy gold of me. I counsel you to get you some white raiment. This is speaking of sanctification. White raiment, the righteousness of God, sanctification, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. What will answer the lukewarm question in many lives of many church people is this second definite work of grace called sanctification. That will answer the big thing in the lives of many people. And you can see it, even though it doesn't specifically verb out and word out salvation, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can see it right here in the Scripture. The goal that he wants us to get is salvation. The white raiment speaks of sanctification. And he said, anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. This speaks of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When you get the Holy Ghost, and I know you get the Holy Ghost when you get saved, but the way that we say it, when you receive the fullness of the Holy Ghost, when you get the Holy Ghost, you'll see like you've never seen before.
Amen.
You'll be able to live the Christian life. You'll have power to live the Christian life like never before. And that's exactly what he's telling them to do. I want you to anoint your eyes with eye salve. I want you to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want you to be saved. I want you to be sanctified. I want you to be spirit-filled so that you'll know where you're going. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. As you're driving closer, getting off of that lukewarm lane, you're continuing on that off-ramp. Now you've got your salvation. You've been to the sanctification pool. You've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. You're picking up speed. You got to watch out so you won't get stopped because you're cruising and bruising for Jesus. You're getting out there and you're getting up some speed now. You've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. And he said, in case you get a whipping, repent. This is the answer for lukewarmness. Instead of justifying our sin, we got to repent. When your daddy used to whip you, or when they used to discipline you in different ways, they would do so to get you to teach you a lesson so that you could learn and not do what you did anymore. And that's what God is trying to do to many people. They're being chastened. Sometimes it's not the devil. Sometimes it's not your brother-in-law. Sometimes it's not your neighbor next door. Sometimes the Lord is putting the hickory to your behind to try to get you to straighten up and to fly right and do what's right.
Amen.
Now, when your parents disciplined you, usually they would tell you, do you know why I'm giving you a whipping? Sometimes we'd lie again and say, no, I don't know. Yeah, you do too. You knew what you did wrong. We don't want to admit what we did wrong. We don't want to fess up to it. But that's the way that God is. And some people have the idea that God is whipping me. God is whipping me. God is whipping me. And I say, well, what's he whipping you for? Well, I don't know, but he's whipping me for some reason. No, that's not God. God is not going to discipline you and chasten you to try to get you to straighten up when you don't even know what you did. God will discipline you, but he will give a reason. God will not discipline you. He will not chasten you without a reason. If you're living right and doing right, you're not being chastened of the Lord. Now, every son and every daughter he has, he will chasten them at some time. But when you're doing what's right, you're not being chastened of the Lord. There's no need for him to chasten you because you're doing what's right. But he said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So just repent, straighten up, learn your lesson. And the quicker you admit it, the quicker you repent. That's the way it is about your parents. When you would scream and holler and kick, they'd keep on whipping. But when you would humble down and when you realize what you did, they'd stop whipping you. That's the way God is. He's not going to keep on disciplining you and chastening you when you've already got right with God. The best thing to do is just get right with God real quick, and he won't even have to tap you one time. All you need is the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times, I'd rather for mama to just go ahead and lay me out than to give me that tongue lashing and that talking to. Just go ahead and whip me and get it over with. And she could talk for 4 to 1,100 days about the same thing. I mean, most wives and women and mothers can. You know, they can talk 25 years ago, said something, something, did something. I don't even know what I did yesterday. Well, that's the way it is. Most of the time, if you would just go ahead and get right real quick, God wouldn't even have to discipline you. The conviction of the Holy Spirit is all you need. When the Holy Spirit convicts you of something you did and you said, yes, I didn't mean to do it. I'm sorry I did that, Lord. No whipping. No more fussing. He don't fuss you out. Once you repent, once you tell him you're sorry, he forgives you and you keep on going for Jesus. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. This applies to the church. It applies to the individual person. Any application you want to put there, it'll work. I stand at the door and knock. He's doing that at so many churches. Man said, I've been trying to join this church 20 years. I talked to the Lord about it. The Lord finally said, don't worry about it, son. I've been trying to get in there too. They hadn't let me in either. I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. We'll have fellowship. We'll have dinner together. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. You're about to make it off of Lukewarm Lane. You're at the end of the exit ramp now. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Every time God speaks to a church, he says that same thing. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. We have been leading to Lukewarm Lane. We have looped around on Lukewarm Lane long enough, and now we have left Lukewarm Lane. I have left Lukewarm Lane, brothers and sisters, and I don't want to go back there anymore. Amen. Lukewarm Lane doesn't feel too good, looping and going round and round and round and not going anywhere. Right. It's like the auctioneer thing that we learned, round and round the rough and rock, the ragged rascal ran. It doesn't do anything, just round and round and round, doesn't do anything. I don't want to go around and around and around. Might have worked for Chubby Checkers, round and around and around. But I don't want to do that in my spiritual life. I don't want to just go round and round in circles. I don't want to loop around on Lukewarm Lane. Thank God that I have gotten off of Lukewarm Lane. And anytime I feel myself leading to Lukewarm Lane, I want God to help me to heed those warning signs so that I will keep off of Lukewarm Lane and I will not loop round and round and round on Lukewarm Lane. And if I get on it, God give me mercy and grace enough to leave Lukewarm Lane by getting on those exits, by heeding those calls and getting me some gold and getting my clothes on and getting me some righteousness and anointing my eyes with Holy Ghost eye salve so I can see, and heeding the call of God so he won't have to discipline me, and repenting and getting right with God and looking forward to sitting down with him on that throne just like he's sitting in heaven now with the Father, and hearing what the Spirit says to the churches. The Spirit is still saying some things to the church. The church in large general may not be listening, but the Spirit is still talking to the church. The Spirit, Jesus said, he has many things to say to us, but we could not bear them then, he said, but the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. He will take the things of mine and glorify me and show them unto you. All that the Father has belongs to me, and that's why I said that he will take my things and that will reveal them unto you. The Holy Spirit is still speaking to the church. He spoke to Ephesus. He spoke to Smyrna. He spoke to Pergamos and Thyatira and Philadelphia and even to Laodicea. He speaks and he pleads and he tries to get us to turn around and get right with God and do what's right and get off of Lukewarm Lane. Father, thank you for the chance to be in church today. Thank you for Revelation chapter 3. Thank you for the warning to stay off a Lukewarm Lane. Help us as your people, Lord, to be passionate, to have a desire to serve you and to worship you in spirit and in truth, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those who don't know him so they'll get right with God and stay off Lukewarm Lane. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the old time preaching from God's Word. Revelation chapter 3. The title has been Lukewarm Lane. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you know him as your Lord today. He will keep you off of Lukewarm Lane and on the highway of holiness. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.